Well, I feel a little bit bad for the visitors today, and I think there's some visitors out there. You already know that I am not Pastor Bronson. I am Mark Lundberg. I'm one of the servant leaders here at the church. If you haven't had a chance to hear our pastor speak, I hope you come back. I hope you come back sometime. He has a love for the Word of God, and it comes through in the way he teaches. He has fruitful ministry here. He does a great job of teaching, and I hope you can come back, and you're not scared off by me, by me. So, I wonder today, you know, being Christmas, that I imagine that there are some of you who've already opened some presents. Have some of you opened presents already? Huh? You know, I know there's people that have traditions where they open them on Christmas Eve, and some open them first thing on Christmas morning. And I feel a little bit bad for those that are still waiting, because I probably am the barrier to you receiving, you know, opening those gifts. And I feel like, you know, you're it's like, get him over fast. I want to get home. So I feel bad for you about that. I imagine that you have a lot of Christmas traditions, and we all have Christmas traditions, don't we? And those traditions are rich, and they teach us a lot about ourselves. I always want to tell you just a little bit about some of my tradition, just to give you a flavor for the fact that every one of us has got some rich traditions. And I think it might be a good question to ask when you see people, maybe to get to know them, show your love for them, is to ask them that question. Tell me about some of your Christmas traditions. When I was young, I grew up in Richville. You know, Richville is just 13 miles out in the valley there, and you probably have been through there. If you've been through there, it doesn't take long to get through there. It's a very small little town. You know that when that town was formed back in the early 1900s, they put a church together, and that church, when they first started, only spoke Swedish in the church. Can you imagine, right there in the middle of California, their church services were in Swedish. That's because there was a lot of Swedish settlers that settled there. There's an evangelical free church out there, and in fact, that church helped plant this church. We're an evangelical free church, and that church out there, a lot of the founding members of this congregation were attending out there, and then they planted this church. I think some of those included the Johnsons and the Stensons. But even today, they have some flavor of being a Swedish congregation. They have on Christmas morning, they still have what they call a Yolota service. Now, I'm sure Mrs. Shoden can tell us what that means. I must mean Christmas service. I don't know. But Yolota service is what they have. And I think they've already had it. When I was growing up, we went to church Christmas morning in the dark. We got there so early. I think it was 6 a.m. or something. So we went in the dark. Now, that was tough, getting up that early. And then it was time so that when you left the service, it was now, you know, the sky was filled with the sun, and it was beautiful. And when I was going to church there, and I think they still do, they still sing one Swedish song on Christmas morning. I believe it is called Lyssna. You know, I think that means listen. Doesn't Miss Shoden listen? I don't know. Anyway, but Lyssna, Lyssna, do-do-do-do-do-do. And we'd sing that, and that's a... Well, you know, I know a lot of your traditions, Christmas traditions, probably involve food, too. I mean, you probably have something you always eat on Christmas. It was the same with me when I was growing up. If you're from a Swedish family, you have to choke down some pickled herring and some potatoes and potato sausage, although the potato sausage is pretty good now. And in fact, they make some great potato sausages up at the wagon wheel. And but the one thing I do remember, that Grandma once a year had to cook lutefisk. That is a, what I remember about that is it is a slimy, smelly fish dish. And fortunately enough, she would put lots of cream, a creamy sauce in that, so that if you were fortunate enough to dip in to get your required little bit of lutefisk, you might get mainly just cream sauce when you dipped in there. So then you were very fortunate, because the lutefisk was not good. But now my traditions are certainly different than that, and I know yours. Growing up, you have probably had traditions before you were married and after you were married, and as we enrich our lives with the traditions of our life. I hope that whatever the traditions you have, they're meaningful to you and they help you remember Christ's birth. And I hope you brought your Bibles, because I want to open up our scriptures today to the Bible. And I want us to look at a message from God's Word. I've been praying for this service, for this teaching part of the service. I hope that my words would be God's truth and edifying to you, the listeners. I am praying for a miracle, and the miracle that I pray for is that God would go beyond the words that I say, the words I prepared, and that He would minister you through His Word, through the work of His Holy Spirit. And I would like to pray for that right now. So if you'd join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful today for this Christmas season. We are thankful that it reminds us that You love us, that You cared about our state, and You sent a Savior. That Savior was born. Lord, You want us to understand Your truth better. May Your Holy Spirit, may it open our eyes to see Your truth. May our ears be opened. May we begin to understand things we have not understood before. May You use my words, but may You minister to people directly. Lord, You are great. Your love is wonderful. Your forgiveness complete. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, may we treasure these gifts. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to look at the treasures you have in your life. I want us to consider also the conversation we have with ourselves. You know, we talk to ourselves. I'm not talking about mental disease now. I'm just talking about those inner conversations we have, those deep conversations where we sort of have those conversations. You know, we talk to ourselves and we carry on a conversation. We ponder things. We think about things and what we do down in that area of our life. What do we ponder in our heart? The Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth, the details of it mainly come from two books in the Bible. Mainly comes from Matthew and Luke. Let's open to Luke, if you want to open there. I love the beginning of Luke, though. The very, very beginning of Luke is a little what they call the preface of Luke. And I think it's a great statement as you read and understand and you look at the context of Luke. Verses 1 through 4. Luke writes, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." They call him the physician, Dr. Luke, gave us his goals. And isn't that interesting? In verse 4, he wrote this goal for his friend, maybe his friend, his acquaintance, Theophilus, that he would have certainty concerning the things you've been taught. He wants to clarify these things, that he would have certainty. He mentions up in verse 1 and 2, he said, well, even though many have already written about these things, the things about Jesus, the things about God, Jesus' work on this earth, and even though there have been a lot of eyewitnesses, I want to put them down. I've been studying these things hard. I've been interviewing people, and I want to put these things down. So that's a great goal he has. He wants to tell us so that we have certainty about the things that have been told. We no longer have the benefit of eyewitness, do we? At least eyewitnesses that were with Jesus, the eyewitnesses that Jesus of Jesus' life, they've all been gone. But at the time this was written, they were actually eyewitnesses. People could tell them, yeah, I saw Jesus. I saw Him do this. I saw Him do that. And there were also, as it says, there were some written narratives. The scholars think that many of those that were written, they're not with us. There were some things that were written that are not with us any longer, written things. Remember, when this is written, there were no printers, there were no flash drives, there were no hard drives, and when people wrote them down, if they weren't preserved in some way, they could have been lost. And we're fortunate that God has preserved His Word for us, but there were some things written that may have not, they may have been lost. So with the Holy Spirit's empowering work in Luke, guiding Luke, Luke's goal that we would be certain about the things we believe, he gives us an account of Jesus' life. Turn, if you would, then to 2:19. 2:19 is really the key verse for me today, and I want to teach out of this verse. I really like this verse, and although it's found in the Christmas story, I think it describes the attitude and actions of a righteous, godly person. I'd like to unpack this verse a little bit, and let's look at the pieces of the verse. The verse is, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Well, first thing let's look at is these things. These things. Well, just those words themselves don't really say, do it? They're not very specific. So we are led to believe that something that comes before these things have been spoken about, of what was that Mary pondered in her heart. So what are the things that have come before this that might have been what were the things that Mary pondered? Well, the first might be verse 18, which says that when the townspeople heard of the testimonies of the shepherds, they marveled. In the song that Cynthia sang, it talked about wonder. That's another word sometimes translations use here. They wondered, they were astonished, they were amazed. Anyone who had heard the shepherds and their testimony would naturally be amazed at what they heard. And that might have been something that was the things that Mary pondered. I think most importantly, she pondered was the shepherd story. That starts in like verse 18 and goes through 20. The shepherd story. I'm sure that it says that in verse 15, it says, the shepherds told each other, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, those are just a short number of words there. But you can imagine how much probably happened in those short number of words. I mean, they went and found Mary and Joseph. And sometimes I just think, well, as soon as they found them, they just took off and then started telling the town. But, I was thinking about this, and I thought, no, they probably sat there, and they adored that baby Jesus, and they adored the good news that the shepherds had been given. And they probably had a little worship service there, don't you think? I mean, they probably said, "Mary, this is what we saw. Mary, this is what we experienced, the angels, the choir of angels." And Mary probably said, "You know what I experienced? I've experienced an angel too. And the angel told me this." I just imagine around that manger, there was probably a praise session. There probably was testimonies. There was worship. It must have been awesome to have heard both of their stories, Mary telling them their story. It must have been, like I said, maybe a little worship service around that manger. And they say that communication goes way beyond the words you say. We say words, but what communicates probably louder than words is tone, people's tone, the look on their face, the kind of body language they have. Can you imagine what those shepherds running in there, finding that baby, and the kind of tone and the kind of communication that must have portrayed to Mary? You can't hide a life-changing experience like the shepherds experienced. The closest thing I can think of that is, can you think of when children, something wonderful has happened to children, they can't contain their joy, can they? They usually are moving like this, and I can't wait to tell you, and they're just, their body language and the way they look, it's just so expressive. And I imagine these shepherds couldn't contain the body language, their tone, their eyes, and they were communicating to Mary. And that must have been some of the things that Mary pondered, is just what those shepherds saw and brought her back to what she had seen. You know, the shepherd story is an amazing story. We heard some of it last night with Brother Kirk Sundahl at the Christmas Eve service. He went through some of what the shepherds are like. But, you know, they really were, they were lowly people, and he talked about how they couldn't even testify in court. They were viewed so lowly. But here they went throughout the town with that radical message, that incredible message, that they were an evangelist, they were fearless, they felt an urgency, they couldn't be held back. All that must have been part of these things that Mary pondered. And going back then in this story here, what about back in chapter 1 where Gabriel, chapter 1, verse 26, where Gabriel came to Mary. You know, Gabriel, it says up above that Gabriel was the angel that stands in the presence of God. That's he could speak to the fact that he'd been in the presence of God, and now he's with Mary, telling Mary about this wonderful thing that was going to happen to her. That must have been in her mind as she pondered this whole situation. Another thing she probably, these things that she probably pondered was the virgin birth. You know, there are people that questioned that birth and what the source of that birth was. Of all the people who knew about what the virgin birth meant, it was her. She had the facts, and she knew this was the virgin birth, and she knew it was a miracle what had happened in her body. And she understood that that was amazing, incredible. Maybe some of these things that she pondered was the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias that comes also in chapter 1 there. A barren woman. Elizabeth was a barren woman. She bore and she conceived John the Baptist. Elizabeth, also through the power of the Holy Spirit, there in verse 42, she declares through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, she loudly proclaims a blessing on Mary and the son that's within. That could have been on her mind as she pondered. Maybe though it was Zechariah, the story of Zechariah, how he was mute and couldn't speak. And when he finally got open his mouth, he prophesied and he talked about what he had seen, the angel. Well, these are some of the things I think that were on Mary's mind as she pondered. Well, let's look back at that verse now. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." The word treasured these things. What does it mean to treasure, to value them? They're important. Put them above other things in her life. The word treasure is used a lot in Scripture. I'm sure you can remember that that word is used to describe our lives and certain aspects of our lives. Like in Luke 12, in Luke 12, 34, Jesus says the verse, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Or Proverbs 2, it talks about, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, if you treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding," then it describes the blessing on people who treasure up God's commands. I think that there's a warning here as we think about treasuring, particularly at Christmas time, we need to be careful not to treasure physical, earthly things above heavenly things. You know, physical things are good. They are blessings from God, and they're to be useful in His service. But they are not eternal. They are only special gifts of grace. As we reflect on our treasures, it may be an opportunity to see that we might be a little bit out of balance. I know for myself, I have to consider this often. I remember Jesus' warning in Luke 8, where he's talking about the seed. And he talks about one as the seed can be choked out by the thorns. He talks about how the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of pleasure, or the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of his life can choke out the seed. What do we treasure in life, and how does that lead us astray? And as this Christmas time, we are trying in some ways to deliver to each other wonderful gifts because we love each other, but those cannot be the treasures of our life. Going back to Luke 2:19, "And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them." What does it mean to ponder? To weigh in the mind, to think about, reflect. Especially pondering has a sense of quietly pondering, soberly, deeply. When I was thinking about this verse and this word quietly, I thought maybe that's really where the word quiet time comes from. You know, that's been our common phrase. We'll talk to people, do you have a quiet time in your life? And really this becomes a time, really a pondering, isn't it? To ponder our quiet time is contemplation, kick around some ideas, ruminate, study, wrestle with something, focus our thoughts and understandings deeply, examine attentively or deliberately. Pondering is not superficial. It's not fast. The song we sang earlier today, Tom, thanks for singing that, was Praise to the Lord the Almighty. In the third verse, it says, ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriend us. Ponder anew. I like that phrase, ponder anew. You know, there are new things we need to ponder, new things we think about our God. Going back to 2:19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The heart, the center of one's life. Physically, the center, mentally, spiritually, the moral center of our life, the source of good and bad, good and evil. Jesus talked about from your heart comes good, comes evil. God does His sanctifying work, refers to sometimes as a sanctifying work in our heart. His perfecting work in our heart is a place where we say God dwells, the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. So Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the final thing I want to look at, the word in that verse I want to look at is the word but. It says, but Mary treasured up these things. I think that but says that she was going in another direction. And what was the direction she was going different? Verse right before it says that in the city, all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them. You know, sometimes in other places say that the crowds marveled, they were amazed, they were astonished. Sometimes, though, being marveling at things, being amazed at things, being astonished by things can be very short-lived. Sometimes we can be a flash in the pan, or it can be cool for a day. It can be a thrill for the day. You know, Christmas time can be like that too. It can be something quick and fast, superficial, empty. People go to events, they go to shows, they see the lights, they go around, and we can marvel, can be astonished, we can be amazed, but it can be short-lived. Mary says, but Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. I think that we need to have that deep and meaningful look at Christmas and the things that God has done in our life. We need to treasure up those heavenly things that God has put in our life, to ponder them, set our minds on these things. Like Colossians 3, 1-2 says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. Philippians 4:8 talks about also some things we ought to treasure, and we should think about, we should ponder. Philippians 4:8 gives us another list. 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You know, another earthly thing or a heavenly thing that we can think about or ponder this Christmas, of course, is that Jesus Christ was born for the purpose of being a Savior. To be a Savior, you got to be saved from something. And we need a Savior because we are sinners. We miss the mark. I miss the mark. We miss the mark. We have treasures in the wrong things. We are unloving. We get to be enslaved to certain sins. We have instincts in our nature that is selfish, self-centered, unloving. And in this process that God saves us, He frees us. He builds an eternal home for us. He increases our capacity of love and through our lifetime sanctifies us. So finally, just wanted to say that this earth, this world has many things to marvel. This time of year particularly, lights, the beauty. There are many things to marvel, to be astonished at, to be amazed at. But let us be like Mary. Let us treasure up heavenly things, eternal things, godly things. And let us quietly ponder them, consider them, meditate on them, think about them. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, help us to be like Mary. May we treasure up those things, the things that are eternal, those things that are good. May we ponder them in our heart. Help us to think about your love. Help us to think about heavenly things. Lord, help us to be with our family. Help us to love them. Increase our capacity to love. Help us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.